Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, and Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studios.
Yay!
Woohoo! We also got to hang out together for Christmas because I did not do my normal trip to Buffalo due to COVID, but out of tradition, I made a big pot of pasta sauce. Yep. You smoked a gigantic turkey.
Yeah.
We had enough food to feed roughly 30 people, but it was just your family and me.
Yeah, we just, well, what was weird, when I went to go get the turkey, there was just, there were only really large birds left, you know, 18-pound turkeys, and the reality is most people weren't doing large gatherings, so, you know, the smaller turkeys were actually more expensive if you could find one, and I wasn't going to rack my brain over it, so I just grabbed the 18-pounder and was just like, oh, we'll figure out something, so my younger cousin came over today and grabbed a bunch of turkey.
Okay.
She's a college student, so, you know, I'm sure
free food is appreciated.
Right. But no, I mean, the pasta was great. I thought the turkey came out pretty good. I still can't taste, so I'm not sure if it tasted good, but I know the texture, it was tender, and I didn't think it was dry.
It was very... People get grossed out by the word moist. It was very moist.
It was moist.
It was moist. It was. It was delicious. I felt really bad for you and your wife because neither of you can taste food fully.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
Well, good. I mean, as long as it tasted good, you know, for the people eating. I mean, I guess that's one of the things, you know, any cooking show you watch. I was just watching, you know, a barbecue show on Netflix, and the judges were all over a guy for, you know, they're like, did you taste this? And he said, no. And, you know, not because he couldn't taste, he just,
right.
You know, he served something without tasting it first. You know, and that's a big no-no in the cooking world. You know, don't put something out
sure.
there if you can't taste it. And so, that you know, that kind of drives me nuts that I can't confirm, what I'm putting out there. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And, you know, you had me over Thanksgiving, and I did not grab a drumstick or a wing at Thanksgiving. There were more people, it just didn't work out that way.
Right.
So this time I grabbed a wing.
Oddly enough, my fucking brother-in-law did.
And he's the one who
gave you
COVID.
Anyway, all right. So,
based on the John Madden, you deserve a drumstick. He did
right.
not.
Right.
He gave you and your family COVID. But yeah, so thanks for having me over. I'm glad we got to do something together for Christmas. It was very low key, but it was fun. And
so the world of politics moves on. You know, and obviously Trump doesn't stop. So. Before we get into what we have on the board, I want to bring up something that we didn't put on the board. And, you know, so we've got, you know, everyone's still clamoring for the stimulus relief bill package.
Right.
You know, I would say it's COVID relief. Stimulus seems like the wrong word at this point. Like, we need more than stimulus. You know, and then if you listen to our conversation with Money Market Ben, you know, that's a big thing that the markets are hanging on to. But, I mean, obviously just everyday Americans on Main Street are trying to figure out, like, what is the government going to do to help us? Small businesses are hurting. You know, there's a lot of people out there who have filed for unemployment, who don't have jobs that are, you know, that they need to pay rent. They need to pay mortgages. They have bills to pay. They don't have money coming in, or they have a lot less money coming in. You know, and it's impacted a lot of people. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I had COVID. You know, I missed time at work. You know, did it impact me financially? No, but I mean, it did impact me financially in a way because, you know, I had a side venture that I was working on that was pretty much wiped out by, COVID that I had to completely retool. So there's definitely an impact there. But there's a lot of people who have it a lot worse and a lot harder than I do or you who need support and they need it from their government. And if the government does this, I don't think this necessarily turns us into a country that's now communist and socialist and it's the end of capitalism and freedom and everything else. It's just something that you do to help, you know, to help the people in your citizens and that are just hurting right now. And they had something where, you know, the big thing was people were going to get, you know, if you met certain standards, a $600 check, which everyone kind of looked at and said, what the hell is that going to do? You know, I mean, that's only going to cover maybe a month's rent if you live on the east side of Cleveland in one of the shadiest neighborhoods around, then maybe, yeah, that $600 covers your rent. But most other places, that isn't going to do much for you. And it's going to be probably gone, you know, before it hits people's accounts. So the president comes out and says, well, why not $2,000 checks for individuals and $4,000 for couples? And I'm not signing it. And he actually vetoed it and, created a big stir. But ultimately, we didn't receive a package. We didn't receive COVID relief. We are back where we were, you know, 2 weeks ago with nothing. And it's a weird move by the president, right? Because on the one hand, he could have used that as a victory lap, right? Like one of the last things that happens before he goes out, you know, whether it's willingly or unwillingly is a different conversation. But he said, look, we got this last bill of this last round of stimulus through before, you know, and he could take credit for it like he normally does. But he kiboshes it and says, no, the people need more money, which I think is an interesting move because it ties the hands of Republicans, right? Because they can't, like, the president is going back and literally saying, like, listen, you guys are screwing over the American people by giving them this little amount of money with all things considered what's going on. So you need to go back to the drawing board, get people more money, get some of the bullshit pork out of there, and let's get a real bill out there. Now, I can commend the president for his thought. It's just so fucking late in the game that on the one hand, it's just like, man, I think this is, you could have timed this better. It is what we needed from the president. I don't want to completely kill him for it, but it's just, I mean, those businesses really need something. And so what are your thoughts?
Well, here's my thing. I agree with you that in principle, there's a lot of things about what Trump's doing here that I commend, because it sounds like this bill was full of shady, backhanded, you know,
right, and they mixed it in with the spending bill, and they with the defense, but like they mixed it in with all these things, right? There were a few different bills on the table. He vetoed a couple of them, and there was and a lot of people are conflating some of the pork from the other bills with this bill. So there was a lot going on here that needs to be separated out, like the gender studies in Pakistan and all this other shit. Like, what the fuck is going on? But like you said, I think I commend part of it, but then what's the other shoe to drop?
So the timing and the handling, I think, was lousy.
Right.
But the in principle, saying this is garbage. I mean, if we were going to rewind 4 years and believe that Trump actually meant what he said when he said he wanted to drain the swamp, this is swampy. This is really, really swampy. This is
what they put out there as a Congress put out there as a bill is swampy. Yeah. Yes,
and that is on Democrats, Republicans, House and Senate. All you fuckers.
Right. And I want to commend a few people. Like, AOC, AOC and Rand Paul, for once, were on the same page. And they're like, look, what the hell are we voting for?
How does that happen?
Right. I mean, like, this thing is 5,000 pages. No one has read it. It, like, 5,000 pages, and this is a relief bill? What could possibly be in here? Like, this is not all for relief. You know, and I commend them for at least admitting, like, look, there's no fucking way that I'm ready to vote on this. In this short amount of time.
Right.
And I think, again, they were in a situation where it's just like, all right, I'm voting for this, but this is bullshit because I haven't read it, I don't know what's in it, blah, blah, blah. And then the president, I think, again, comes and kind of plays the almost anti-hero in this sort of situation. Not a good guy or a bad guy, but just a guy who kind of balances things out and says, look, go back to the drawing board. It's just the timing of it isn't great. But, I mean, I think at this point, people are just like, well, I think a lot of people are at a point where they've kind of given up on the idea of getting actual help from the government, which is a really bad indicator of where we're at. So, all right, go back and get it right is what you hope they do. Give the people a little bit more money. Cut some of the bullshit spending. Leave in the thing that I need, which is the lock of the 4% multifamily bond deals, which is huge, which actually isn't in the COVID relief bill. But it's just an interesting situation that Trump has put, especially his own party, right? Because what they want to do is just say, no, this is fine. We don't want to get, so the Republicans are in a situation where if they push back on the president and say, no, we don't want to give the American people more money, screw them, it's either take their $600 or lose it, then that's a bad look for them, especially going into the Senate races in Georgia, which will take place January 5th, so is that next week, right? Or the week after?
Week after, yeah.
So that's a bad look for Republicans going in and saying, nah, screw you, right? So now Loeffler and the Republicans down in Georgia, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we want $2,000 for people and $4,000 for a couple. This is good. This is what we have to have this. And it's kind of going, they now are going against the people in the Senate who are saying, ooh, no, but we were really good with the 600. Now you're asking for more. Like, like he's created this internal strife within the Republican Party. And all the Democrats are like, yeah, fuck yeah, we'll sign off on $2,000 and $4,000 for individuals and couples all day. You guys fight it out over here. We're ready to go whenever you are. It's just an interesting move that Trump put his quote-unquote team the situation he put him in.
By the way, is there anyone in this in U.S. government more smarmy than Lindsey fucking Graham? I mean, that guy will jump into any circle that protects him.
I look at it a little bit different. Like, Lindsey Graham isn't fooling anybody. Lindsey Graham isn't a tactician. Lindsey Graham he's out to save his own skin. Is he any more smarmy than the rest of them? No, I mean, because they all do pretty gross things. And I think there are people who are a lot worse. The issue is we don't know it because they're smart enough to keep their heads down. And okay. The shit that they do to fuck us over, we can't see. You know, it gets done in the dark. Like, Lindsey Graham puts his shit out there in broad daylight for it. Like, Lindsey Graham's not doing backdoor deals. And the backdoor deals he's doing are not related to Congress.
You did it, not me. The thing you're sucking on is not a pina colada. Line from the movie Inside Man. Yes. If you haven't seen it, you should.
I can't stand Lindsey Graham. I think he's, I think he's a spineless, gutless, whatever. But I think there's people a lot worse than him, and I just think that they're more.
That's saying something, then.
Right. I'm
not saying you're wrong.
Listen,
I'm
saying that Mitch McConnell is worse.
He's not hiding anything either.
Right. I mean, he's not. But I mean, it's just like, I mean, Mitch McConnell seems like the type to walk up and slice your throat and tell you it's your fault.
Right. Right.
Why'd you do that to yourself?
Quit hitting yourself.
Right. Quit bleeding out all over yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, the COVID relief bill is the shit that we don't know is something that we should try, if we can even, to unearth as it unfolds, because this is the sort of shit you need to hold politicians accountable for down the road.
Yeah.
When you find out, well, your congressman, your senator snuck in, tax relief for whatever and had nothing to do with COVID relief, nothing to do with helping the American people. And they knew that you wouldn't challenge them on that. 5,000 pages, you could sneak a lot of bullshit.
Right. I mean, you can make the argument that most of it was bullshit, right? So, and I think that a lot of people are saying, well, this is how it's always done, and this is what happens, and so, and this is the sort, like, all right, so then let's go ahead and hold them accountable. Let's push back on it and say, you know what, that's actually not okay. This is an emergency. This is a relief bill. So put the things in it that the people need for this particular situation, right? Like, the rest of it, the rest of all your backdoor deal, all that shit, you want to put it in the omnibus spending bill, you want to put some shit in a defense bill, you want to put some shit in some farm bill, okay, fine. But when Americans are hurting and are dying and are desperate, that's not the time to play the games that these politicians play over and over again. You and I talked about this earlier in the week, and you had mentioned the 9/11 bill. I get that they did it then, but it wasn't okay then. It's not okay now. And these are the sort of things where you go back and you say, okay, we look at our congressman, we should go through and say, all right, what did you try to sneak in, Sherrod Brown? What did you try to sneak in, or not Sherrod Brown?
Sure.
Sherrod Brown, or Rob Portman, or
Marcy Kaptur,
or, Marcy Fudge is busy going to HUD, but whatever. Whoever it is, like, what did you shove in there, or what did you sign off on, or what did you, partner with somebody to get snuck in there, and then they're like, hey, while you guys are dicking around with that, people are, getting kicked out of their apartment, or their houses are, are getting repossessed. Cars are getting repossessed. Kids are, we don't know where meals are coming from because you guys are dicking around trying to slide shit in the back door.
And the moratorium on evictions is due to expire.
Right.
Lots of other protections that were like, okay, while we're getting through this won't happen to you, is expiring. Unemployment insurance is coming up in the same deadline. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of small businesses that are cash strapped and running out of cash and having to lay people off and close. And listen, a lot of these small businesses aren't coming back, right? People put everything into these businesses prior to COVID, and they've lost everything. And there's no, like, unless you give them, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, depending on what they lost and how big their small business was, a lot of these aren't coming back. I drive around Cleveland, and there's a lot of for lease signs in restaurants of places that I used to go to.
Yeah.
You know, that I really like. And it is a gut punch, you know, to know that they didn't just close the doors, right? When you see a for lease sign, that means that place isn't coming back. And it's really depressing. And you turn on the TV and you hear all the bickering back and forth, what, you know, in terms of what our government's going to do for us. And really, it's nothing. You know, I mean, and that's a damn shame.
And I'm not a trash the government guy. Typically, I'm not a, you know, get the government out of our lives. I believe in good government. This isn't good.
No, it's really not. Bad. And listen, I'm not saying.
I know you're not. But
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I'm not sitting here saying I need a $2,000 check from the government, or I need a $4,000 check from the government, or Jim, you do. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. You know, the cash would help any number of people, sure, right? Like that is a critical component, and it can help. That injection of cash can help people get money into circulation, into those small businesses, and can maybe help save some of the, you know, the smaller ones that are teetering on the edge right now. But there's everything else that comes with it, you know, in terms of small business loans, in terms of grants, in terms of, you know, getting support to the schools, because,
sure,
you know, these schools, like, are they going to have to do how long are they going to have to continue to do the virtual learning, and how has this changed what they're spending in terms of on technology and the schools that maybe weren't able to do it? Like, can we get cash to these schools so that they can maybe do technology if we feel that virtual learning is something that needs to continue and expand until we can get COVID under control? Also, getting this fucking vaccine out to people, right? Like, I'm sure we need more money in logistics for that. So there's a lot that needs to happen. There's a lot that people need, and they're not getting, and our government is not being responsive. Part of it is because they're playing politics. Part of it is because they're just inept. And that's very frustrating.
Sure. Right? No, I completely agree. And this is one of the few times in my lifetime where they have a chance of having a light shown on them and being held accountable.
Right.
Because now, people have more time on their hands than they want.
Right.
It's hitting after months of fumbling around with the virus and everything. Now it's like, okay, the holidays are here. People are not going home. They're not, you know, doing their normal routine. People are still scared, and they should be. We're supposedly rounding the corner, and these fucks want to, you know, play their games up on in their ivory tower, and I'm pointing a finger at everyone.
Every single person.
I'm not. If someone, like, is it when AOC and Rand Paul go, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Then, and I don't like Rand Paul, and I really don't know a whole lot about AOC other than I know she is the villain of the right, and I've heard her speak a few times. But I do know their ideologies are very, very, very different, and yet they're still saying, sticking to their principles. And I've thought both of them have typically done that. So I will cautiously commend them.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they need commended, right? Like, they just they pointed out, like, look, this is too much too fast. You're hitting us in the face with the fire hose. Is this the right thing? Is this actually solving the problem? That's their job, right? Like, I'm not going to commend them for doing their job yeah, right? Like, fair. Doing the base level of their job, which also points to how rarely that happens. So it's interesting. We'll have to keep an eye. Obviously, we'll have to keep an eye on it for a number of different reasons. When they're able to bring this all together, I'm not 100% sure what the status of all this is. I mean, because there's so many different rules. I was looking at it, and I guess in theory that they could override the veto,
correct,
if they wanted to.
And I think they have the numbers.
And they have the numbers, but again, politically, that's just such a bad look. given what the hang-up to this is, which is, you know, a shit ton of pork that is not needed, and then obviously just the low payments that they settled on, you know, half of what you, what you know, the $1,200 last time was barely enough for some people and probably not enough. You know, some people are like, some people got too much money when they got $1,200. Just like, okay, I mean, if that's the angle you want to look, that a few people got too much money, as opposed to the number of people who didn't get enough, the people who didn't get any, or the people who basically took that and handed it to someone, you know, sure. You know, it just got thrown into a lake of debt, you know, which did nothing for them. Then, okay, then we're never going
to
make it.
But right? It's also easy to say. I mean, in Cleveland, I've got friends who literally are paycheck to paycheck service industry friends, and to them, $1,200 pays the rent and more.
Right.
If you're in New York City or San Francisco or Chicago, I can name
or like, you know, Charlotte on and on or and on and on. Dallas, right?
Those places are so much more expensive to live in.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting there should have been like an adjusted payment based on cost of living.
They'd still be trying to figure it out.
Right.
But.
And then right. But still, you know, it's easy for me to say, well, my friend out on the, you know, in the west side of Cleveland who has a $700 a month rent, okay, that helped him. In New York City?
Right. I mean, and now there's an argument. I mean, it's just like, all right, we can't base everything on New York City and California.
Right.
But at the same time, we can't just ignore them, right? And when you say, here's a $600 check to help you through these hard times.
Thank you. I can get two pizzas and you're literally, cab ride.
Then that means you're ignoring those two places. And you know, so you have to look at it, you know, from a wider lens, understand that the numbers, like, you know, whatever base calculations that they're using, you know, they're using the absolute minimal, you know, calculations they can come up with to figure out what amount of money is going to help people and jumpstart the economy. And it's just like, look, that's not working, right? And I know we have this idea that we want everybody to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and, you know, screw hard times, you punch hard times in the face. Look, you can't go around shutting down, like, I mean, every state has, for the most part, has gone through and literally cut the head off of any number of industries and said you can't go to work and you have a limited window of time that you can work and you can't have the same capacity that you had before and you have to pay for all these you know,
modifications
so they can to your building and everything else into your business. So, you know, the idea of people just getting through that over the course of a year or 18 months or however long this is going to last, no, man, this is the time where you step up. I mean, it's just crazy how the idea of giving people money, you know, for free or whatever, how right. That just, like, that's the worst thing you can do to, you know, middle-class white guy is give somebody else money and not give it to them, right? Like, that pisses, you want to piss off a middle-class white person more than anything, show them someone else getting free money, right? And them not getting it, and they will, they'll want to fight you.
Yo, I have a very good friend from college I've mentioned. He works for the government. I won't say his name, but he had nearly had a heart attack a couple years ago, actually at Thanksgiving. We would get together as a college buddy of mine. He works for the government. He went to school on the government's dime. He has received more from the government than anyone I know. And yet, all these people getting this free shit. I'm like, okay, you're not seeing irony here. Right. But he's
super intelligent.
He's a smart guy.
He pays for the trade-off is everything that he provides to society.
All right, first of all, you're being snarky and justifiably so. But, yes, he did go back to school to improve his ability to work for the government. Fine, whatever.
Yep.
He got paid to get a PhD. They covered his tuition, his living expenses, and paid his salary while he was doing that. Which, by the way, would be my fucking dream. Because right. If I go back to college in my 40s with a shit ton of money, bad things would happen. I won't acknowledge that, I think. But whatever. He's a guy who should be the most understanding, and he's a good person. He's a friend. I love the guy. But he, you know, as soon as he hears people getting free shit that's coming out of my tax dollars, boom, you know, we have anger from in and out in our studio. He goes there.
Right. I mean, and especially if the person, like your friend, if they deem that the people getting money are less worthy than them. right?
I hate to put that on him, but I can't deny it.
But that's the thought process, yep, right? Sure. Like, I mean, if it were other people like him, then it would be okay, and he would be in that group, and then there may be, in his mind, a way that he could get in on that, or that's fine. They're deserving because of this. But these people, they don't have the same intellect as me, or they haven't worked as hard as me, or they've made terrible decisions. They shouldn't be, screw them. They need to work to get to where I am. That should be coming to me. I'm the one who pays the most money in taxes and blah, 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 blah. I mean, like,
you're not wrong.
That's the thought process. And it's just like, dude, just get the fuck over yourself. Can we just do this so that everybody can kind of get back on their feet? Rising tides raise all the boats and all that other shit, and let's just move on. But nope, let's be mad that other people are getting something
for free, even though they're starting from a much tougher spot than he did or I am.
So anyway, let's move on.
Yes. So
sorry about that.
So that's fine.
Derail.
It happens. So, again, I want to give Trump a little bit of credit for having the balls to stand up for this, although I do have some spidey sense. But one thing I'm not cool with, and I know every president on their way out pardons people, and every time the opposing media is like, oh, this is disgusting. Was it Frank Rich? Whoever the guy that Clinton pardoned, they trashed him for.
Well, that started a fucking, like, I mean, they did a Senate investigation over that.
Rightfully so. But Trump has issued a whole bunch of pardons, and some of them are really disgusting.
So we'll go through the list of some of the people that he pardoned, right? So off the top, one of the first ones is George Papadopoulos, okay?
Sure.
Now, the problem with George Papadopoulos, which I will, always contend, is that, listen, this guy is part of the reason why you had all of that Russia hubbub and all that other shit, right? Trump hires these people, which there's another person on this list who falls into that category, but Trump hired all these people to be a part of his campaign back in, 2015 and 2016. And one of them, George Papadopoulos, this guy was going around, Russia, and he was in different countries just talking about his willing, basically saying he was open for business. He wanted to get rich. He knew that being a part of the Trump campaign would give him access to information flowing both ways, and he basically made himself for sale. And then he even told other people from foreign countries about his openness and willingness, and how Russians had contacted him and were willing to work with him. And the people from the Australian government are like, okay, so they call the U.S. government. Obama was still the president at the time, and they said, hey, this guy is running his mouth about his access to Trump and, Russians contacting him, money, all this other stuff. And that's how this shit goes off, right? And Carter Page was the other one who was doing very similar things. And Carter Page was a guy who was so shady that he had already been investigated by the FBI and was still on basically a watch list from 2013. Right? And this guy is on Trump's, like, and everyone's just like, oh, it was all a big hoax. No, like, these are the people that Trump had around him, people who are openly, willingly working with Russia and working with the Ukraine, working with all these other countries, and saying literally, we are open for business. We want money, and in return, we will give you access to this guy. Right? They're saying it openly to other government officials. This is how an international investigation starts. So George Papadopoulos, what is one of the names that jumps off the page? Paul Manafort, which I don't think is a shock. I think the only thing that is surprising about this is the amount of time that it took.
Right.
Because Paul Manafort was in jail. Like, Paul Manafort was in solitary at one point in time because he was constantly trying to intimidate witnesses and everything else. So I'm surprised it took Manafort as long as it did, but his loyalty has paid off. And Trump pardoned him, which everyone saw that coming, and here it is. Another person on that list is Charlie Kushner, all right, the father of Jared Kushner. And Charlie Kushner's story is pretty gross, right? Like, so he was making illegal campaign contributions to Democrats, and his brother-in-law, his sister's husband, finds out, goes to the U.S. Attorney's Office. They do an investigation. Charlie Kushner finds out, and then proceeds to hire a prostitute to seduce his brother-in-law, which somehow Charlie Kushner either recorded or secretly recorded or was there, I don't know, right, but got a video of. And then Charlie Kushner gives it to his sister. Hey, I got this.
Here's
video
a picture of your husband banging a hooker.
Of your husband banging a hooker. So there's that, and they did it like on their son, on the day of their son's like engagement party or graduation party or something like that. It was really sick and twisted what he did. So he goes down for, you know, tax fraud, tax evasion, illegal campaign contributions, blackmail, all this other stuff, to the point where Chris Christie says, this is one of the Chris Christie we all know, you know, chubby former governor of New Jersey. He says it's one of the most, you know, gross things that he had been involved with in terms of prosecuting in his time as the U.S. Attorney's Office, right? And, and Chris Christie said that back in 2010 or something like that. It was on a 60 Minutes interview. So, you know, Charlie Kushner, gross. Yes, he was making illegal campaign contributions to Democrats, so somehow people want to be like, see, Democrats. Like, yeah, but his son works for Trump, so you can be mad at it, but, I mean, it's still just gross family ties. And then there were a couple other, there were a few other people that he, that Trump pardoned. Nicholas Slayton, Dustin Hurd, Evan Liberty, and Paul Slough, I believe. And they were convicted of killing Iraqi civilians. They worked for Blackwater, which is a private security company that was working in contracting with the U.S. government at the time when we were over in Iraq. But there was just a really gruesome story of them killing a child in a van and I believe about 12 to 13 other Iraqi civilians. I believe this was back in, I want to say 2005 or so.
I had seven in my head.
Or maybe 2007, there. But either way.
You know, I think they were convicted in 2007, so it probably right, happened in 2005.
Right, but I mean, it was a little while ago, but either way, they've been pardoned by Trump, and a lot of people are really rubbed the wrong way by this, as they should be. I mean, these men were convicted, mind you, of some pretty gruesome stuff.
And it can't go without being said that the founder and former CEO of Blackwater is a guy named Eric Prince, who is the brother of Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education. I read Jeremy Scahill's book on Blackwater, and when you look at what that organization did, they basically did stuff that was outside of the bounds of the Code of Military Conduct, and they had laws specifically written in for them, like, as a contractor, you are not bound to this, so you can do a lot of shit that would have gotten you court-martialed and sent to a federal prison if you had done it as a U.S. soldier. Mind you, you're doing it getting paid a shit ton of money.
Yes.
And the government tried to turn its head, and this was so gross that the government couldn't even turn its head. Blackwater had to subsequently disband and then reform. They were actually literally, like, once Iraq's sovereignty was restored, they said, okay, no one who works for Blackwater is allowed in this country.
Yep.
So they said, okay, we're not Blackwater anymore. We're, I want to say KGM or some. They basically changed their name.
We're not Blackwater. We're White Ice.
Right. And one thing, I don't know, you know this or people know this. It's called Blackwater because their base is on the Blackwater Swamp on the border of Virginia and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they had enough military hardware at one point that they would have been like the seventh biggest military in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So private industry having that kind of firepower, willing to do that kind of shit that happened under our noses, is something that doesn't get nearly the attention it deserves. Sorry for jumping off the tracks.
No,
that
it's fine.
That is an underspoken about reality that is should be terrifying to us, and yet we just like, yeah, whatever.
When offline, I'll tell you a little bit about someone that I know who actually worked for Blackwater.
Okay. And the fact that you can't tell me online says, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So are there any more pardons that we should take a look at, or are those the big ones?
Based off of those, there probably are, but yeah, I mean, like, those are the big ones. And then, you know, Michael Flynn was pardoned, the crazy dude was also pardoned.
I'm drawing a blank, who's the crazy dude?
Oh my God, the crazy one, who,
unfortunately, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Oh my God, the guy with the dog and
oh, Roger Stone.
Roger Stone. Sorry, I was completely drawing a blank. I'm looking at his face and I'm like, why can't you read my just fucking mind?
Batman villain.
Yeah, well, Batman that's villain. I kept wanting to say the Joker, and yet it couldn't. I couldn't pull it out. Anyway, yeah. So I mean, a lot of people gave Obama a lot of shit about the people that he pardoned, and Obama pardoned a lot of people that were, you know, low level drug offenders. Yeah. Some of them had records that were a little bit more than low-level drugs, right? Like, some of them were involved in some heavier cases. And conservatives and Republicans jumped all over that, and it just said you're getting criminals back on the street. You know, some of these people are you know, real bad, you know, criminals, and you know, some of them were. I mean, there's no, I mean, you can't lie and say that they weren't. I mean, like, they got caught with a fair amount of cocaine and weed, and there was a gun in the car. Like, listen, that's, I mean, that's problematic. But, okay, fine. Like, listen, these four people
Trump says, hold my beer.
Right. I mean, these four people from Blackwater murdered, you know, 13 people, one of them being a child. You know, now how innocent were those people? It doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
It doesn't fucking matter. You can't tell me that kid deserved to die that way, and his father deserved to watch it.
You're right.
And so I just, you know, if you're gonna get all over Trump about people, you know, dealing drugs with guns, then, or if you're gonna get all over Obama about releasing people who dealt drugs, and had guns, then I don't see how it's okay that, you know, like he's pardoning war criminals,
right?
And that's just, well, you know, that's just business,
right?
It's just a bad vibe.
And so we will probably, hopefully, record again before January 6th, when the Electoral College formally announces that Trump is the outgoing president. Whether or not he's accepted that is a matter for discussion that
elsewhere.
But Newsmax and OAN have tried so hard to capture the Fox market, and they've done a pretty damn good job. And both Fox and Newsmax have been attacking Dominion and Smart Tech, or two companies involved allegedly in you know, designing the vote tabulation machines and the software. And they've been claiming fraud, and they've been spewing Trump's nonsense, until Dominion threatened legal action against Newsmax. And then in about a 3-minute segment, they came out and said, yeah, anything we said about him, about Dominion being involved in Venezuela, yeah, that's not accurate. You know, we have no reason to believe that anything wasn't on the up and up. So they spent weeks throwing out attacks,
months.
And then spent three more months, and then 3 minutes going, oh yeah, we didn't mean any of that shit. Why? Because they're about to get their asses sued to the dirt.
Yep.
And I wish that was getting more attention in the likes of CNN, and I listen to the Young Turks on a regular basis. I don't think you're a fan. No. I don't know. Okay. I listen to them. I have some beef with them, but I want to hear more of that from them. This is a big fucking deal. These folks at Newsmax and OAN and Fox have been saying these corrupt organizations that were... They're throwing out the name Hugo Chavez, and that drives me fucking crazy, because Hugo Chavez has been dead for 7 fucking years. Is it 7 years? Or did he die in 2007?
I feel like it's been longer than 7 years.
Maybe he died... Anyway, he's fucking dead, people.
Right.
He was dead long before this.
Right, I mean, Hugo Chavez has been dead long before Trump was elected. Let's just put it that way.
That is verified fact. And yet, they just throw out these trigger words, Hugo Chavez, communism, socialism, stop the steal, and
illegal immigrants.
Illegal immigrants. I'm sorry, I forgot about them. And those catchphrases work. And finally, I give credit to Dominion saying, okay, let's go to court, bitches. And like, whoa, we were just kidding. Can't you tell when someone...
Chavez died in 2013,
so 7 years, okay. But it's fucking ridiculous that they're playing that card, and yet it works on people.
Embarrassing. Because people, they want things, they want to hear what they want to hear, right? They want to hear that Donald Trump is the president still. They want to hear that the election, like, that everything worked against them, and it was this mastermind of George Soros, and...
There's another name I left out.
Right, sorry. like all the evil, bad people, and Bill Gates, and Jeff Bezos, and I'm sure Nancy Pelosi had something to do with it. Yeah, probably Jane Fonda and Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro all were involved in this massive thing to fuck over Donald Trump. And it's just, you know,
it's mind-blowing.
And part of the reason why I think you're not hearing more about it and more about them, you know, doing this sort of recant from your mainstream media is a lot, I think the mainstream media kind of looked at it like I did. Like, look, I'm not going to feed the beast here. I'm not going to constantly tell you why these people are crazy. I'm not going to look at every single crazy person they pull off the street to make up some bullshit. Like, I'm just not going to acknowledge it. And if you're a Trump supporter or you believe all this, then there's nothing, like, there's no argument that I can give you that's going to pull you out of your bullshit, right? Like, you're in there, and I get where you're going to go, like, well, we have to fight it. It's so far out there that you don't, right? Because any sane person that you want voting is going to look at this and be like, get the fuck out of here, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, but, I mean, and here's the, I mean, it's, now, what sucks is we have a large percentage of people who just aren't that bright. Yes. And so we can't make them any more intelligent or receptive to information and facts. And so I'm at a point where I'm not going to waste my time and energy on it. I've got to focus on what I can actually impact and control. I can't control stupid people.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think that's probably the smart thing to do. On the other hand, I'm one of those people who's like, when no one challenges utter nonsense, then somehow, you know what, Steve, is a double-edged sword. Because by me or us speaking out against it, we're almost, I think your thought is we're giving validity to it. Like, okay, you're responding to it, and therefore, you know, you're being duped by the mainstream media, blah, blah,
not
blah.
Not necessarily duped, but I mean, I think
it's misled.
Right? Well, I mean, I think what happens is the more you open, like, you, people, it gives people who believe it the opportunity to jump in and then be like, no, this is what's really happening. This is, you listen to the wrong media. You got to go to this guy on YouTube who sits at a table in his basement. Like, okay.
Go to IamAwesomePatriot.com and learn the truth.
I'm like,
right.
What, like, sure. And it's just like, okay, right? I'm not going to argue with you on it. It's a waste of time and energy. I think you acknowledge, like, look, they're saying these things. These things aren't true. These are the facts. You do it a few times, but I'm not going to constantly do the back and forth and try to knock down every single thing that they throw out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, you and I were both confronted by the same guy who was formerly in your neighborhood, who told us that Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, the two most powerful Jews in the world,
yes,
are like, this guy was
Bill Gates is Irish Catholic, and Jeff Bezos is, like, Bezos, the last name is Cuban. So,
right.
I mean, and, but sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what you're up against. So, I mean, you can, and, like, what
and
do you
I
do?
Sat there going, I don't want
to. I know. And you, like, you're like, we need to jump in. I'm like, just let this fucking guy go. He's because fucking hard. Like, literally, just what would have been the point of arguing with the guy, right? I just wanted to enjoy my cigar. And the longer you sit there and debate with him, the more he infringes on my right to smoke my cigar happily.
That is an actual event. Yeah, so but Newsmax backpedaling made me feel warm and fuzzy inside, because when they realized, oh shit, this is our big attempt to grab the Fox audience.
And what's interesting, the interesting thing about that, I mean, I think everybody knows that Trump's going to make a move for Newsmax in some way, shape, or form once he's out of the White House. Whether it's, I don't know if he's got the money to buy it. I don't think he has the money to buy, like, an OAN or a Newsmax. He may be able to buy a percentage of ownership or something like that. But we also know that Trump is very petty. So does Trump, like, does, because they're backpedaling and saying, yeah, screw all that, it's not accurate, does he now have a beef with Newsmax that kind of puts any sort of deal with them on ice, since they weren't as loyal as he wants them to be?
Who knows? And I would think Trump would try to get into Newsmax the way Rush Limbaugh got into SiriusXM and Howard Stern did as well. It's like, you're going to pay me a ton of money as in stock.
Right.
And because of my brand and who I am, your value is going to go up because of who I am. So he's not necessarily going to say, you know, I'm going to spend $400 million, whatever the money is, to buy this network. It's, I'm going to be the flagship of your network. You pay me that much money in stock, and we all rise because I am Trump, and therefore I am valuable. I suspect that's what will happen. We'll have a couple months to see how it plays out, but
yeah.
I'm calling that shot right now.
No, that's a good call, and that's the only way it actually works, I think. You know, now they need to be careful with that model, because there's some arguments that it didn't work out so great for Sirius. It worked out great for Howard Stern. It's worked out great for Rush Limbaugh. But I mean, you know, at some point in time, like, I mean, Sirius is struggling right now to keep listeners and things like that. So it will be something interesting to watch play out.
All right, I want to move on, because we've been going so long on this. I want to move on to some really kind of crazy shit.
Yeah.
So there was an RV in downtown Nashville on Christmas Day that literally started announcing, this RV is going to explode in 15 minutes, evacuate, whatever. Officials jumped on it. 15 minutes later, thing blows up, took out a whole bunch of business windows, hurt 3 people, as far as I know, didn't kill anyone not involved.
We're not sure if somebody was on the bus or not.
Right. So they're pinning on a guy named Anthony Quinn Warner, a 63-year-old IT guy, longtime Nashville resident, described as kind of a quiet, nerdy guy who didn't bother anyone. And there's so much weird about this. First of all, it's to announce this thing's going to blow up in 15 minutes in a downtown city street. It was on 2nd Street in Nashville. I don't know Nashville at all.
And didn't the announcement switch to from, like, you know, evacuate to take cover or something like that?
I don't know.
Like, once it got under 5 minutes or something like that. I mean, it's a very bizarre situation. There are a number of things that don't make sense, including the person that they're pinning it on. You know, and
he allegedly died in the explosion.
Right, which, of course, right? Obviously, the conspiracy theorists are out in full force, and it's hard to argue, right? I mean, that, like, why wouldn't they be? There's going to be a lot of unanswered questions. The one thing that I am stuck on that does irk me is that, you know, this was right where there's a number of communication places. So, like, AT&T... T-Mobile, Sprint, they all had, you know, buildings there where, you know, satellites and antennas and all that other stuff. It created a giant issue with internet and communication, phones, all that stuff goes out. And so essentially it created a blind spot that impacted, you know, multiple places for miles and miles and miles, right? Like, so I guess the question is, this sucks for, you know, the people who live close to that area with the explosion going off. But, you know, a few people were hurt, but no one was killed other than allegedly, you know, the person involved. But, I mean, with something like this, you have to wonder, normally things like this, like, they kill someone, right? Like, and so this didn't, and it feels like it was designed to not hurt people.
Right.
But it was designed to draw attention. And so the question is, what was this drawing people's attention away from? What happened in that, you know, I mean, and when the communication was down, what was going on? Is this government related? Is this Russia related? Is this, like, who's really responsible for this? What did they really want to accomplish with this? Was it national? Did something else go on? Was this just a robbery? Right? Like, and what I mean by a robbery, not like a bank heist, but was information stolen that we're just not figuring out yet. There's a lot of different possibilities of what this was. I don't think the media is reporting. They're just reporting, which is good, right? There's no spin. But there's so many unanswered questions, and the longer they linger, it's only going to get wilder in terms of what the conspiracy theories are. And I'm sure they're going to come in. I'm sure after the show we're going to get floods of people with their theories on it. I guess I welcome it, you know? I mean, it's worth hearing it all out unless you go super weird with the intergalactic, you know, space agency that the Israelis were talking about. Did we talk about that last week?
No.
Or the week before, whenever it happened?
No.
Did you see it?
No.
That there was a former former Israeli official that said that they've had contact with aliens, and that there's like an intergalactic space
council
and humans aren't ready to really meet them yet, so it's just this thing where they're gonna hang back for a little while longer until we grow up. Or something. I don't know. It's wild.
I don't totally dismiss that.
I don't dismiss it. It is an episode of South Park, though. To be complete, you know. So,
give them time.
Right. It's an episode of South Park, and it's an episode of Rick and Morty. So, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical as we all know. I have bad taste in shows and movies, and I watch a lot of cartoons. So, That's why all this sounded very familiar to me. But anyway, if your conspiracy theory doesn't involve the Intergalactic Space Council, we would love to hear it as to what the hell happened in Nashville.
Right. And I am... So when I was getting ready for the show, I wrote down the words Arlington Road, which is a movie starring Jeff Bridges and Tim... Oh, God. Susan Sarandon's husband. I'm drawing a blank.
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. Thank you. Fucking A.
Well, I almost said Tim Burton, which is why I didn't jump in and save you right away. And I'm like, it's definitely not Tim Burton.
No, definitely not Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins. Great movie.
Very good movie.
But in that movie, spoiler alert, basically... Tim Robbins ends up being involved in an explosion, a bombing that he didn't want to be part of, but he got set up for it. And that popped into my head with this guy. This guy does not seem like the type to... I'm sorry, Jeff Bridges was set up by Tim Robbins.
Yes.
Twisted the plot. But I am definitely not sold entirely on the current story of some 63-year-old IT guy decides to blow up his RV in downtown Nashville, make sure everyone's safe, but nothing else. Come the fuck
this
on.
This doesn't quite vibe. It reminds me of the movie The Siege with Denzel Washington, Annette Bening,
Bruce Willis,
Bruce Willis, Tony Shalhoub, and maybe a couple other people that I'm leaving out. But that's what it feels like. Now The Siege was 1998. The movie came out in 1998, and then 9/11 happened shortly thereafter in 2000. 2001, yes. But it just the vibe is very similar, right? In terms of
giving the reason to send the military into.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's very uncomfortable, and I think if you combine the two movies, you might be closer to what happened in real life. You have sort of a real life imitating art at this point. It's a really scary thing, and I don't want to downplay it. Makes me really nervous, but it feels like we're not being told something, or there's something that we don't know.
And that maybe the government doesn't know.
Right, that the government doesn't know. And I, like I said, I don't know if this was, there are people who believe that this is the government doing something. I don't know if I buy that, but I do buy that it's somebody, so this is more than just Anthony Quinn Warren. I feel it's more than him, and it's bigger than him. It's like that thing that happened in Vegas, with that guy killing all those people. That still doesn't feel like it's been resolved. I know that it has been, and we just, the guy turned it out, oh, well, look, he had all these guns, and, he just dragged them in one by one in a giant bag and then went crazy. Okay. I mean, it just still doesn't feel right, and I don't know if that much death ever can feel right, but this is even more bizarre because there is...
No death. Other than Anthony Quinn Warner, who knows who the fuck that guy even is.
Right.
All right, man.
Is he even a guy?
I don't know.
Right. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to some light stuff. We've been going on for a while. College football playoffs are about to start, and it feels so weird because this whole college football season was just crazy.
I mean, Ohio State only played, six games?
Six games, I think, yeah.
And, I mean, we've got teams in bowls with records of, 2-4.
2-8.
whatever. But then you had Charlotte. What was it? Charlotte and or Coastal Carolina, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And who did Coastal Carolina play in their bowl?
Just watched
the Liberty. Game.
Okay.
Coastal Carolina plays Liberty in a bowl game. Liberty is undefeated, or Coastal Carolina is undefeated, and Liberty was 10-1 or something like that. And it was actually a really good game. It was really entertaining. It is infuriating for me to watch, right? Because Coastal Carolina and Liberty both were 1AA teams that have recently moved up and have found a shit ton of success, if you think about it. Liberty beat two teams in the ACC this year. They beat Virginia Tech and Syracuse. Both those teams are down and terrible, but Liberty, most people don't even know where Liberty is. If I gave them the map, right? I mean, well, yeah, you do. Because we've talked about it on the show for a number of different reasons.
And I've worked on a project in that area, so.
All right, so, I mean, it's not a quiz. We're not holding it from people. We can tell people.
Lynchburg, Virginia.
It's in Virginia, yes. But anyway, it was fun to watch that game. But I mean, there's just a number of really bad bowls, and there always are. But they're worse this year because you've got teams that didn't play that many games. I think teams are just now kind of rounding into form a little bit, and then there's so many impacts from, teams missing players due to COVID and guys that
canceling games,
guys that have chosen to opt out and everything else. it's just a bizarre year, like everything else. They're moving on with the playoffs. Ohio State made it. I'm an Ohio State fan. You're an Ohio State fan. Notre Dame made it. A lot of people like Notre Dame's last game they played in the ACC championship because Notre Dame moved into the ACC in football for this year because of how bizarre things were, and they got drilled by Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, where the last time they played him, they didn't have him, and Notre Dame pulls out a win. And so Ohio State will play Clemson on Friday, Friday the 1st.
Yep.
And Notre Dame will play Alabama. And my prediction is that Ohio State ends up probably getting drilled. Defensively, Ohio State's not great. Offensively, they're pretty good, but they're inconsistent, especially when it comes to running the ball. And I just don't – I feel like Clemson has too much for them, but I think I'm very open to being proven wrong in this particular instance. But it just does not feel good. I'm not making – I don't anticipate Ohio State rolling into the national championship. But I could be wrong.
I feel that
Notre Dame and Ohio State have similar destinies, and we'll see another Alabama-Clemson game for the national championship.
I suspect you're right. I would really love to see us beat Clemson. I was actually out watching NFL football today, and some guy said, we need to do it for Woody Hayes. And I'm like, I don't get why. Oh, that's right, because the guy that Woody Hayes punched at the end of his career played for Clemson.
Yes.
I don't know that I have a good read on Ohio State this year, because the last game when they played Northwestern, they had so many players out because of COVID that I don't think we saw the real team. And everyone's gaga over Trevor Lawrence, and I haven't watched him play enough to say that that's justified or not.
I watched him play. He's real good.
Is he next level good? Is he like consensus number one overall good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you can make an argument for Justin Fields, but I think it's Trevor Lawrence.
He's athletic. He's got an arm.
He can make all the throws. He doesn't cave under pressure. He plays very well in big games. He's been playing in big games his entire career, big-time program. He's a leader. People like him. You don't have any problems with him. He's accurate. He's shown the ball can get away from him a little bit, but, I mean, it all depends on where he ends up, who the coaches are. If they're willing to adapt the game to him, his skill set, his strengths, he'll be very successful in the NFL. If not, then he won't. Right. So unfortunately, I know it sounds like you're straddling the fence, but that's just the reality. I suspect that he'll be relatively successful. It also depends if he's even coming out. Right. Because there's a lot of talk that he may stay another year to avoid going to the Jets.
Well, speaking of which, the Jets defeated the Cleveland Browns today.
They did.
And that makes the Jets almost certain not to get the first overall pick, which means now he's going to be avoiding Jacksonville, also worth avoiding.
Right.
But the NFL took a weird turn today, and I'm so glad I wasn't around you between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock this afternoon, because I'm guessing you went through a range of emotions.
I'm very passionate about the Steelers. It's weird, like I was talking about last week. It's not nearly as fun as it should be. It's just entertainment, but I just take it seriously. I just enjoy it. It is what it is. I watch the game like a player. I look... I'm looking at formations. I'm looking at certain indicators as to what's coming and what's going on, which I'm sure is really annoying watching a game with me, which is usually why I just watch by myself. Living in Cleveland, the one thing is like, and people love to like talk shit, whether Browns are good or bad, they feel like, oh, well, we'll talk shit about the Steelers. And like, listen, ultimately, I don't care about your team. I don't care about Buffalo. I don't care about Cleveland. I don't care about Baltimore. I don't give a fuck about any other team in the NFL. I only care about the team that wears black and yellow that's based out of Pittsburgh, right? I want them to win. I don't care if your team wins or loses. I don't care about your quarterback. I don't care about anything else. I just care about my team, right? Like, so I don't talk shit about other people's teams, right? If you ask me a question, honestly, about what I think of your team, I'll tell you. I'll give you an honest answer, right? I've been telling you forever that Josh Allen is your guy, right? You're like, oh, well, I'm not convinced. I was like, I'm convinced.
I am now.
Right. You know, I mean, you are now, and like, you'd be crazy if you weren't now, right? I mean, I'm the guy who said the Browns need to take Baker Mayfield, right? So I actually kind of need Baker Mayfield to play a little bit better than he did early on in the season, right, just to make me right. And I wrote an article about it. You can go to our website if you want to look it up. I'm not bullshitting. But ultimately, I don't care, right? Like, so people want to talk shit to me because they want to get back. I don't talk shit about other people's teams, right? I don't poke you when you're down. Now, if it's just really, really bad, right? Your team is just, like, awful, right? Like, if you're the Jets, then I'll just acknowledge that your team is fucking terrible and good luck. You know, good luck in the draft. But I just focus on my team and all my energy goes into it. And so when they play bad, I don't always react the most sane or mature or level-headed. I mean, I can acknowledge this.
I'm the same way as a Bills fan, so I get it. You've never seen me in full meltdown mode that I can remember. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Just I don't ever putting you through a what in the actual fuck throwing things around. But I've done that. Have I done it in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not surprised or apologizing for it.
Right. I mean, I know what it is. I get it. Which I just, you know, I'm there. But. You know, in terms of the way where the league is right now, what's crazy is, like, you have a Colts team. The Steelers beat the Colts today. And so because of that, like, the Colts are in a situation where they can go – they may win 11 games and be out of the playoffs, right? The Browns are in a situation where if they don't win – like, if they don't – like, if the Steelers if the Steelers beat them next week, theoretically the Browns could be out of the playoffs. But you could also see a situation where the division, the AFC North that the Steelers and the Browns and the Ravens are in, could see three teams in the playoffs.
Right.
It's just a crazy scenario. It's next week is going to be really entertaining. A lot of big important games, and that will determine who's in the playoffs and what the playoffs looks like. The NFC East is the worst division in football, and so you're going to have a team that's not going to get to 8 wins that makes the playoffs. Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be the Giants? Is it going to be the Eagles? I mean, don't know,
right?
And I think some of that stuff is actually being played out right now as we record this show. So, I mean, it's fun to watch. Yes, viewership of all sports is down, including the NFL. Although, even though the NFL is down, it's still millions of viewers above every other sport. But I'm still watching. I still love it. I still enjoy it. It's been a fun season. It absolutely sucks that the fans aren't in the stands. Hopefully that gets resolved next year, which I think it will be because of the vaccines. But I still love the NFL.
You know, I want to commend the NFL because I'm never shy to criticize the league when they deserve it. But they've given us entertainment in a time when we desperately needed it. They've had to do all kinds of shell game with COVID, and the Steelers and Bills were both impacted, the Steelers more than the Bills. But they've kept their product in front of us, keeping a season intact. If you can contrast it to college football that had to literally, you know, tap dance on a unicycle.
I mean, because you're dealing with, like, I mean, college football, you're dealing with kids. They're not getting paid. You know, and so even though, they want to play, you got to protect them from themselves to a certain degree. You know, that was odd. It's just wild. So it's been fun. I think the other thing about the NFL too, it's just been about football, right? Even though they've got a campaign, a marketing campaign regarding social justice and everything else. For the most part, it's just been about football. There hasn't been a whole lot about kneeling and things like that. Even when guys have kneeled, it just hasn't caught the same fire that it has in the past. Obviously, Trump's not amplifying it. He's got other shit to worry about. You know, Trump's too busy taking credit for the Big Ten playing football this year.
Right.
But it's just been a year where people are mostly, the people that are watching, they're just watching the football. You know, they're back to complaining about the stuff that they normally complain about, being the refs and bad quarterback play. And it's a good thing. Right, it's a good thing that people can step away from worrying about COVID, can step away from worrying about their business going under, and can sit there and watch something that doesn't impact them, that won't hurt them unless they're betting, or you know, they're in a fantasy league, which I'm in a heated battle for third place in my league right now. But it's relatively easy entertainment that I think some of us need. Without football right now, I mean, I'd be going pretty crazy. You know, and when the football season is over, if all these lockdowns and all these stuff, all that shit is going on, I will long for the football season to be coming back, and I will be headfirst into all the draft talk and everything else. You know, but listen, I appreciate the NFL right now, and hopefully things can turn around. We get fans back in the stands and we go back to normal, not just for sports, but just for everybody's fucking sanity.
Completely agreed. I know, knowing you and knowing me, we could go on for hours about this, but we probably shouldn't do that. Let's, I think we should wrap this up. And this next week is going to be really interesting politically and in the NFL. The Bills play the Patriots tomorrow night, so you'll be or on Monday night, so you'll be hearing this before that game happens. But that impacts a whole bunch of stuff in terms of playoff seeding. And again, I appreciate the NFL for doing their best to keep that entertainment out there, and it shows the value of their television contract, because most sports don't have so much wrapped up in their television viewership that they can afford to put their athletes out there and you know, maintain the revenue without anyone in the stands. So you ready to call it a night, brother?
Yeah.
All right. We are out. Thank you for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram, Twitter, and Parler. You can find us there, and if you want to reach out, we'd appreciate it. We're done.